This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. I'd like to thank our sponsors who make our podcast possible. We tape our podcast with the ongoing support of Raider and Jason Sikora, our sound engineer. Raider is a hands-on IT service provider that integrates all of your needs for advanced technical support, effective communication options, and cybersecurity. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work, we understand. Please visit RaiderSolutions.com for more information. Iberia Bank and First Horizon, who are now one bank. Two relationship-driven banks, both leaders in the industry, have officially joined forces. The combination of Iberia Bank and First Horizon creates a leading financial services company dedicated to enriching the lives of their clients, associates, and their communities. I'd also like to thank Lafayette General Health, who has joined the Ochsner Health family and is now Ochsner Lafayette General. As one health system, Ochsner Lafayette General will provide expanded services and enhanced care from the familiar faces you already trust. Ochsner Lafayette General means more resources to help solve healthcare's toughest problems, reinvesting in our communities, and being further committed to health and wellness. Ochsner Lafayette General. Together means more. Learn more today at togethermeansmore.org. Liz Webb Hebert, Chair of the Lafayette City Council and Representative for City Council District 3, is our guest today. In her day job, Liz serves as the Director of Business Development for Surgery Partners, LLC. A lifelong resident of Lafayette Parish, Liz is a graduate of Northwestern State University and then earlier, Turlings Catholic High School. She serves on the board of directors for Acadiana Animal Aid. She has also served on the board of the 705 Young Professionals, is past president of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Acadiana, and has served as president of her homeowners association for 8 or 9 years maybe. Liz has been recognized as one of the Daily Advertiser's top 20 young professionals under 40, the Independent's 2015 Influencer of the Year, and ABIZ 2016 Trailblazer of the Year for Women Who Mean Business Awards. She was awarded the Women of Excellence Award in 2018 by the Lafayette Commission on the Needs of Women. She is a graduate of Leadership Lafayette and has served as chair of Leadership Lafayette and the Junior Leadership Programs. Liz is married to Aaron Hebert, also of Lafayette, and they have two dogs, Lady and Batman.
That's right.
So Liz, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You know, I went back through, I was trying to think when I'd interviewed you before, and it was several years back when I was with Upper Lafayette and we had a TV show, and I may even include that on the show notes. Yeah. You weren't elected to office, I don't think, at the time.
I think I maybe just gotten elected.
Maybe just, yeah. Or were in the race,
but right.
This is your second term in office, correct?
Yes, a lot's changed.
Yeah, so before you represented District 8,
right,
and now it's District 3 on the newly constituted City Council. So before we get into your elected office life, why don't you tell us a little bit about, I know you grew up in Karen Crow, tell us about your family and what led you to where you are now.
Sure. So I grew up, like you mentioned, in Karen Crow. My parents still live out in Karen Crow. Mm-hmm. I have four older brothers. All of them have sort of moved out of town and had their own lives everywhere. I'm the only one who's stayed here in Lafayette. Very close with my family. My family definitely encouraged me to be a leader, take charge, get involved, get engaged. And that's sort of where that comes from. And then, of course, being the youngest and only girl, I think that also plays a role in
and oh my goodness.
Choosing to speak up and be loud and take charge, right? You can't hide with four older brothers. So, and just the typical involved in high school, college, and then once I came a professional after school here in Lafayette, just wanting to be a part and play a role in making the community I live in better.
Yeah.
So, and what better way to do it than serving on the council?
Well, I want to get in a plug for some of the people you've worked for because you've had some wonderful experiences. I know before you told me you had started at Zia's, right?
That's right. I've been blessed to have some work for some pretty incredible people, starting with Leonard Louvier over at Zia's. Just, he took a chance on a girl coming straight out of school and sort of gave me free rein, within reason, of course, to sort of grow that catering side, events side of Zia's. Then eventually working my way to the Cajun Dome,
right,
where I've worked there for 11 years.
And that's where we met. I remember that.
My bosses, Pam DeVille, Charlene mm-hmm. Chassel, and that whole group were just, again, great bosses that just said, I trust you. What do you think? We're open to ideas, open to collaboration, and sort of letting me try and execute my crazy ideas. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. And then with the council, I had to resign from my position at the Cajun Dome, which was, you know, devastating. I loved my job. I loved the people I work with. So that was certainly wasn't an easy choice to make. Then that eventually led me into healthcare, working for Surgery Partners in Lafayette Surgical here locally. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I do physician recruitment is the largest part of my job is recruiting physicians to bring cases to their surgical cases to our hospitals. The great thing about Surgery Partners is that we have hospitals, ASCs, pain management facilities that are all physician owned.
Okay.
And if you're not in that medical world, you don't quite get how important something like that is, because mm-hmm. with us, our model is the physicians' names are on the door. They get to make the decisions on patient care, which is the most important thing. And they are so, especially my physicians, I'm a little biased because they're all my physician partners, but they take the role in the care of their patients' health so important, and it's so important to them and for us as Surgery Partners to guide them on the business side, on the decisions of that. But ultimately, it comes up to the physician and how they see the patient's care should be handled.
Right.
So,
yeah, you're right. Most of us don't really understand the behind the scenes maneuvering, and it can mm-hmm. be, I mean, there's so much technology taking place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You've got to stay on top of what's happening too.
Absolutely. And just our facilities are known for low infection rates, high patient satisfaction. And so here locally, we know of Lafayette Surgical Specialty Hospital being such a great facility. So I'm blessed. I love my job. I have great bosses within that company.
Yeah.
They're based out of Nashville, even all the way up to the leadership at the CEO of that company. I know a lot of companies nowadays with COVID, you know, you see your friends getting laid off and furloughed, and oftentimes they were the first to go before any cuts were ever made, and the upper management never saw or felt any pain, whereas in my company, I've never felt so blessed because they've made every opportunity to make us feel mm-hmm. safe, secure.
Yeah.
They kept us updated. You know, leadership took cuts before anyone else did, and I'm the last to get anything back. And so I feel incredibly lucky to have the job I have.
And also, I'm sure it affords you flexibility with your side gig
mm-hmm, absolutely.
As chair of the Lafayette City Council. I mean, you've probably got a lot of juggling that goes on throughout your day.
Yeah, you know, you definitely have to be organized, mm-hmm. which I'm by nature an organized person, and prioritizing time and mm-hmm. energy. Pre-COVID, you know, while I'm waiting on a doctor in a doctor's office, I can check my emails and make sure mm-hmm. I'm taking care of my constituents. And you know, after hours, it's a lot of emails and a lot of return calls.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, let's jump into your service. So what got you to run in the first place? I know you said your family always supported you and, you know, encouraged you to be a leader, but what was it that got you to run the first time?
Just the outreach of mentors, people I respect in the community. Yeah. Back in 2015, you know, it's at some point I realized I wanted to eventually run for office, local mm-hmm. office.
And how old were you then?
Oh, God, I had to have been in my early 20s. I just knew that.
Way back you knew.
Right. And at leadership, Lafayette played a large role mm-hmm. in that. Is I was 26, 27 whenever I went through the program. And it just, you've been a part of that. Mm-hmm. And you see that every month you go through each month learning something new. And Local Government Day was one of the particular days. It was just so eye-opening to me of, you know, how important local government is. It's right here. It's the things that affect you day to day, from the road you drive on to the water you drink to the, you know, every little thing that we deal with day to day. And so seeing how things were done, and I had so many questions, and of course, you know, those who know me know that I sit here and go, well, why are they doing it this way? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. I could do it better than that. Let me try it. And so that's sort of what gave me the confidence. Mm-hmm. And it helped me see that those people serving up there are no better than any of us, right? They just took that leap and ran and chose to step up and run. And
sometimes you learn that they're doing it for reasons that aren't obvious, like they don't have any choice because of state law or something. So you do learn as you go that you probably can do it better. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just can't do it because it's not possible.
Exactly. eventually, the time of 2015 ran around, my mentors approached me and said, it's a new mayor, it's a new council, let's, you need to do it. Now's the time.
Open seat.
Yeah. And so, with the encouragement of my husband and my family and lots of thoughts and prayers, we took the leap and did it.
Yeah. You did a great job. I mean, two formidable opponents who are very nice people, and you worked it.
Absolutely. I've been lucky with both of my races to have incredible opponents who are all doing it for the right reasons and friendly and courteous campaigns, and I've developed relationships that will last a lifetime through that. And my goal for both was always leave this campaign with more friends than what I started with. And that's absolutely rang true. We worked hard. We worked our tails off. We knocked on every door, and the hard work paid off.
So describe your district. Where is District 3?
Sure. District 3 is right in the middle of Lafayette. So I sort of say the loose boundaries are Johnston Street, right in the middle of Lafayette, to Collie Saloon Road, going all the way to the mall, to Lafayette General. It's sort of that general border.
That's big.
It's very big. So it's 26,000 people. So,
And you've got a rather affluent district when you compare it possibly
Absolutely.
To other areas.
My district is the most educated, most informed, most engaged, highest wealth. So we're very, very lucky that I have a constituency that understands the issues involved. So.
Yeah. I do want to point out, even though you're not my councilwoman, we do have government services running outside. So if anybody hears the trash pickup,
yes,
our government at work. So
I won't
thank
say
you,
it's
Liz.
Because I'm here. So
no, Nanette Cook is
our thank you, Nanette Cook,
councilwoman. So yeah, so what are the typical issues that come up? Do people know what your role is versus state representatives? Like, what do most people call you about?
Trash. Ironically enough, the trash truck just came.
It's, or when it doesn't show up, right?
More importantly, when it does not show up. It's a concern about a rezoning, something happening that, I know your neighborhood just experienced that.
We
did. So I got some calls on that. It's concerns mostly about change or not receiving a service. What I wish I got more calls on, and we'll talk about this in a bit, is you can always call 311 as well, is for potholes or street repairs, people pointing out things that need to be fixed. That way we can get it fixed. And I've sort of wanted, my role has always been to be accessible and approachable to my constituents because I want them to reach out to me about anything. Because when I was running, people just didn't know. They didn't know who to call, and they didn't know if it was a state or a local.
Right.
And I just assume you reach out to me no matter what, and I can. If I'm not the right person, I'm going to guide you to the right person.
You have a great Facebook site.
Absolutely.
And I know you post, you're always posting about, the trash might be delayed because of a holiday, or this is going on, or this event's coming up. But most of us don't really know who to call. And Liz, I just read a book, Upstream. I have a kind of a professional business book club, and they were talking in there about the people, the squeaky wheels that get help from their elected officials, people that are more educated and more affluent, even if they don't know who to call, they're going to make the calls. And a lot of people don't make any calls, like you were saying, and you don't know if there's a problem if we don't reach out.
Exactly. I tell people that all the time, is I can't fix a problem if I don't know about it.
Right.
And my goal, and I'm part of every neighborhood's Facebook page that's out there in my district.
Oh, so they can know how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So they can, I see the posts, or they'll now tag me in the posts to let me know there's an issue or to ask me a question or whatever it may be. Because people will get so upset and then finally call me because they've been dealing with this issue for a year now. And they're so upset, and someone finally said to call me. If they would have called me a year ago, that could have been an easy fix. So now I try and get ahead of that. And so with the being in these Facebook pages, in their neighborhood Facebook pages, or being on Twitter, or being sending out my monthly email newsletter where they can just respond back. Mm-hmm. It's where I'm top of mind and so easy to get a hold of that there's no excuse not to contact me about an issue. So I'm catching them before they get so upset. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of, I'm so sorry to bother you about this. And it's not a bother. I'm doing this because I want to help and I mm-hmm. want to hear from you.
Right.
And I attend the HOA meetings in all my neighborhoods to make sure that I'm staying on top of whatever that concern is. So, mm-hmm.
what is the most effective social media? Is it Facebook for your issues?
Absolutely, Facebook.
You're not TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok. I have no clue how to use it. My cousin, who's 10 years younger than me, makes fun of me because I have no clue. I should know better. But no, Facebook by far mm-hmm. is the easiest. I also utilize the Nextdoor app. A lot of people are on that as well. So especially when it comes to trash or road construction, I always attempt to post on there. Mm-hmm. That way people can see it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, just for people again that are listening, you can just dial 311 mm-hmm. or there are specific phone numbers for different categories, but it kind of covers, I guess, most of what people would need, any
Absolutely.
Issues that they're experiencing.
Absolutely. 311 is meant to be the catch-all to everything. And, of course, you can always reach out to your council member. But if you're on the road, you see a pothole, mm-hmm. call 311. If you see something that needs to be fixed or your trash hasn't been picked up or you want a police officer to come and catch speeders in your neighborhood, that's another big one.
Or I saw roadkill.
Roadkill, yes. Yes, roadkill. And
so
a little known fact is a lot of people think that someone from animal control should pick that up, but it's actually Republic that picks up animal.
I know.
So roadkill. So a little fun fact for you.
Yeah, yeah. Liz, I'd like to pause for a moment to reflect back on one of our interviews, and this was from 2019, with State Representative Julie Emerson, who I know you're friends with.
Yes.
And she also grew up in the Karen Crow area. She is our state rep that represents Northern Lafayette Parish and Southern St. Landry Parish. And like you, she's dedicated to public service. Let's take a listen. Can you explain how your office is run? I know you couldn't do what you do without a good team,
sure.
without a staff that takes the calls, figures out priorities. That's a big job.
Sure.
I'm sure you get calls from all kinds of people wanting all kinds of things or just confused about what's happened. So can you discuss that?
Yeah, definitely. So every legislator has one legislative assistant who's in the district office. And they really kind of field all the phone calls that come into the office. Obviously, you know, my assistant now has been with me this entire time, so she'll be going into her fifth year. So she's, you know, she knows all the contacts at the mm-hmm. different state departments and everything. So that works out well. But, you know, I know some people come in saying, oh, well, I'm not going to give out my cell phone number. Well, I mean, everybody's going to find out your cell phone number. It's just, you can just like resort to that.
Right.
And that's fine.
You get calls
honestly,
directly.
Yeah. And I enjoy it. I mean, for the most part, I like that people can access me. I mean, now with social media and every other way mm-hmm. of communication, you know, people want to be able to get to you. And I think it's interesting with what, you know, people complain about President Trump's Twitter all the time, but I think the thing that people enjoy the most about it is they feel like the President of the United States, even though sometimes it may not be in the friendliest language, you know, he's able to directly communicate mm-hmm. with the American public. And I think that's what the electorate really wants. They want access to you as their elected official because you are the one with the name on the door and you are the one who is out there, you know, voting and, mm-hmm. and trying to help them. So I don't mind it. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I'll talk to someone and then I'll send, if it's an issue that my assistant can handle with mm-hmm. our legislative liaison at the Department of Health, for example, then she'll take care of it. But I think people sometimes, I think, are afraid of the public calls because they think people are going to be mad at them. But I always find that if you answer the phone, if you talk to them, if you listen, mm-hmm. they just want help.
Welcome back to Discover Lafayette with our guest, Lafayette City Councilmember and Chair Liz Webb-Abier. So Liz, you seem to tackle real people issues. And when I went through just news articles looking at what you've done, one of the things that first jumped out to me was the bus stop situation. A lot of our workforce, you know, they don't have dependable transportation or any transportation of their own, and they depend on our bus system. And a lot of the stops have never been covered bus stops. Would you talk about that and what got you to get the community involved in supporting that issue?
Sure. So this came, like most of my projects have come from just hearing that there's a problem and finding a solution to it. And, you know, while this may not affect a lot of the people that live in my district, a lot of people we're all human. We hate seeing someone suffer or sitting out in the rain without a bus cover or sitting in the heat that we often have in Louisiana, or sitting on the ground without a bench even. And so I had friends reach out to me and say, you know, how do I get this covered? During our budget session, we allocate monies to cover 11 bus stops a year.
Oh,
and that's something I always knew. But then I said, well, okay, well, great.
Yeah.
How many more do we have left to do? And we have over 300 left to cover.
Oh.
And, you know, if you do the math, that's not in my lifetime. And so partnering with some friends who said, well, can I just pay for a bus stop? My company pay for one? I have employees sitting out in the rain. And so that's sort of what brought on this public-private partnership, which I'm a big believer of, is, you know, we have such a generous community who want to help, so why not allow them to take part in that?
Right.
And so we established that back in late 2018, and since then we've covered almost 40 bus stops.
Well, I know the Lafayette Parish Bar Association is one of those grantors. And
that's
the
right.
money is taxed, is it like a charitable contribution? They make the pledged, to the Community Foundation?
That's right. We have the account set up at the Community Foundation of Acadiana, so all donations are tax deductible. That account remains completely separate from the LCG budget account.
So people can trust that
absolutely.
The money's going exactly where they want it.
That was one of my biggest concerns. I wanted to make sure that money didn't get intermingled, because I know a lot of people say, well, you know, this tax is meant for this, but then of course it went to this, and so the only time that money is exchanged hand is once that bus stop has been built, then we pull that exact money out of the account in order to pay for that stop.
About how much is it to build one bus stop cover?
So they all range in pricing, and not all bus stops can be applied to the Adopt-a-Stop location, because we need to be able to make it ADA compliant.
I see.
And so so there's certain ones, and my range for my Adopt-a-Stops is $6,000. That includes the concrete in order to make it ADA compliant. We have the seat, the actual structure, the solar panel in order to make the lights work 24/7.
Oh, okay. So they're safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Trash cans to keep track for people to throw away their trash, and the bench. And so that all is inclusive of the $6,000.
Boy.
Yep.
Money, yeah.
Yeah, so
it doesn't seem like much, but the Bar Association
was one of our generous donors. We just completed the University of Louisiana at Lafayette just completed all their bus stops. They committed to covering every stop on their campus.
How many would that be?
That would be nine stops. So, and they're beautiful, and they ended up etching the glass to where it looks like a beautiful oak. So it's visually appealing. You know, one of my big concerns is having it look like a bunch of billboards, right, all over Lafayette. So we wanted to keep it simple, keep it aesthetically pleasing. We put the name on the top, or this stop was adopted by, and then on the sides it says Adopt a Stop. So
I may be putting you on the spot. I apologize if I am. Do you know about how many people rely on the bus system?
So I don't know the actual number. It's growing, especially now we've seen with COVID. You know, everyone's suffering right now. We are seeing those numbers grow during COVID.
And so people can ride. I guess they just have to distance while
social
they're on
distance,
the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So people can find out more about that.
Yep. If you can do a simple Google search of Adopt a Stop Lafayette, or you can go to the Community Foundation of Acadiana's website and search Adopt a Stop.
Okay.
We take donations from a dollar to however much.
You don't have to do the whole bus stop.
You don't. So if all you can afford is a dollar, and then as we get to the, we raise enough funds for a stop, we just apply that to the highest need.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. Another interesting program is the Safe Exchange, where people can go not only to make safe transactions if they're buying something that they found online, but also for child custody exchanges. If you want to talk about that.
Sure. So that actually came up in my first year of being on the council, was just listening to the police department talk about that was such a you know, it's a shame that people meet at their homes, strangers, and that's dangerous. Don't do that. And a friend of mine actually sent me a link and suggested this idea. And at first I said, well, people should just know better than to meet. Yeah. But, you know, people don't know.
They trust.
And there's no other option, right? Mm-hmm. And so I took on that idea and worked with the Lafayette Police Department. And it didn't cost the taxpayers a dollar because it was resources we already had. Mm-hmm. And we just needed to designate two spots at the police department. So, I'm selling some items or I'm purchasing something online. I can just have that person meet me at the police station, and it's filmed 24/7 in multiple areas.
It's at the police station
on University.
Here on University.
And,
yeah. Were there other, you're saying other locations, or is that the main?
That's the main location. Uh-huh. So I know some other police, since I've established that, I've had other communities reach out to see exactly how to continue to establish that. Yeah. Someone, in fact, I saw that the Rain Police Department posted that they've been having issues lately of people meeting and accidents happening from that. So we sent them the information. That way they can establish that. So
that image of OJ came up in my head. I was trying not to laugh where he, you know, went in a hotel room and they had a little scuffle.
Yep.
Ended up with a criminal offense. But I can see how dangerous that would be.
Absolutely. You know, and I've had constituents and people reach out and say, you know, I told someone to meet me at this location. Then they all of a sudden quit responding. So it's going to eliminate people who are looking to hurt you or not give you the thing you promised. And so you were promised. So it definitely will remove ill-intended people from your purchases. So I definitely encourage people to use that.
Right. And recently in the news, I guess just this week or the past week, the Ambassador Sound Wall is in your district.
Yes.
And I don't actually travel that route like every day, but I think for people that do, it's really been an eyesore.
Absolutely. You know, it's not even people just within our community. It's a, you know, if I recall, I remember receiving data that said that 80% of the people who shop at the mall live outside our parish.
Oh,
so this is not just people that are traveling that road that live in Lafayette. It's people are outsiders. So this is the view they get of our community. Mm-hmm. And it's not just an aesthetic thing. It's also a safety thing, because now if you see, you drive by, you see there's big holes and it's breaking down, and this is directly into people's backyards. Mm-hmm. So I had actually a constituent tell me she caught somebody, a stranger, trying to sneak through the hole into her backyard. She called the cops and luckily they left, but it's a safety issue, you know. And so luckily I was able to work with, I just inherited that part as new part of my district with the new council and the new territories, because there were some rezonings. And whenever I knocked on doors, every single person said, fix that wall, fix that wall. And so that was my priority this year, was getting that done. And so luckily Public Works and the administration, we were able to work together and find funding. And my fellow council members supported me 100%. So thankful for that.
How old is the wall? Is it very old?
If I recall, it's about 16, 17 years old.
So it just didn't last?
It didn't last. And the reason why is, so Ambassador is actually meant to flood. And the reason why it's meant to flood.
And it does a good job of that.
And it does a great job of that. But it's the good thing about that is I actually lived off of Ambassador's. Mm-hmm. I never flooded, never got close to it, because guess what? The streets are meant to flood.
Right.
They're meant to hold the water. And so that sound wall is, what makes it a sound wall is that there's foam insulation to kind of capture that sound so it doesn't bounce off and go across the street. And so when the car would pass, the water would shoot up straight onto that wall. And after 16 years of getting wet, drying, it just expanded. And so on the new design, we'll have we'll be putting things and barriers in place to prevent that from happening in the future, so it will last longer.
Right.
And
the
other thing we plan on doing is changing the color from that sort of like gunmetal gray to a more visually appealing beige color that blends a little bit better. It's not as harsh. And there's talks of partnering with local artists, but that's all far down the road. It was more about allocating the funding to even get started.
You know, I've worked on some murals that have since been power washed off as blighted, but just even 10 years ago, we had all these murals painted at University and I-10, and it's very difficult to keep things clean.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an obligation once you do it, so you have to be careful how you move on that. So.
There was discussions on, rather than painting it paint to paint on the wall, it would be more on a vinyl that can always be replaced or it will last longer. So there's definitely those discussions happening.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, because I know that's going to make a big difference. So I want to get into a few other things, but are there any other big issues you'd like to report on?
One of the things, and I think we were planning on discussing that, is the Save the City Committee that the City of Lafayette is just...
Deconsolidation.
Deconsolidation. Mm. You know, that's been a hot topic for a long time. And when serving on the past city parish council, we voted to move to a split council on Fix the Charter. And the biggest reason why I supported that was... Mm. The current form of government, which we've been living on for 20-something years, and it had never been changed. The charter had never been amended.
Right.
And it was time for change, and I felt like this is a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And since then, especially during budget time, we talk about where your tax dollars are coming from and who's paying for what.
And who's getting the services.
And who's getting the services and not paying for it. And so I feel like we need it. Fellow council members on the city council all agreed unanimously that we do need to have a committee of community people who are involved and engaged to start having these conversations on, okay, we've been doing this for a year. Wow, look at what has opened our eyes to things that have always been happening. And we're having some really difficult and tough conversations, but that's a good thing. It's what we wanted. And so this will bring us to start having these conversations, this dialogue, to eventually, when we do want to amend the charter, what changes need to be made?
Right. Back when the consolidation effort was done in the 90s, Lafayette was such a big city compared to the small municipalities, but that's kind of flipping upside down.
Right.
And I guess my concern has been we need to look at it and also just look at what is fair and what worked 26 years ago is just not working now. But
right.
Yeah. So with the Fix the Charter, if I can ask, some issues were addressed, like the two councils governing, you know, there's a parish council and then you're on the city council now. But some things must have come up that were either not anticipated or just not addressed in that ordinance that we all voted on, you know, to approve Fix the Charter. So was it only when you guys started voting on the budget? Is that when people started realizing, even though we have separate councils, we still have to have joint budget approval? Is that when things started...
I think the budget is when people really start. The first 4 years, I never really saw big community engagement and conversation around our budget, even though it's open to the public. We have multiple meetings at different times and it's televised. I mean, this year's budget, I've never seen more engagement and more conversation on where our taxes are going. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was wonderful. That was the goal
it
of all
wonderful.
This was to make it easier to understand that you can see as a city of Lafayette taxpayer where your dollars are going.
Right.
And I'm loving it. I'm loving the conversation. And so, you know, this was never meant to be the Fix the Charter. And I said it then and I'll say it now. It was never meant to be this is the end all do all. We never need to fix anything again. Mm-hmm. It's meant to open our eyes and just take off the covers and see what's wrong. Let's open the hood. Let's look at it and have an honest conversation, which is exactly what's happening now. So,
and the more transparent you guys are, you know, the more people I think will trust that they can see where the money's going and they can either get more involved or at least say, well, I understand now what's
Absolutely.
Going on. Because really, it's complicated.
It's so complicated, you know, and I've served on boards where I've managed nonprofit budgets and my own personal family budget, multiple different types of work budgets, you know, my own professional life, and now this. It's not an easy budget to manage. And so one of the things that I've championed is encouraging LCG to adopt OpenCheckbook.com, which is a very easy website to navigate. And anyone can go on there and type in exactly what they want to see, where the dollars are going, down to seeing a copy of the check being signed.
And that's up online.
And so we're working on that now.
Okay.
We're not actually going to use OpenCheckbook.com because it is very expensive, but we do have some new budget software that offers something almost exactly the same as that.
Right.
And so I'm working with our finance department and our administration to get that pushed through. So I'm very excited to see that come up.
Yeah,
because people need access to it. They should.
We don't know.
No. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to the conversation about the committee is that it doesn't need to be a group of politicians or public servants leading it. It needs to be the community. The community needs to be a part of it, whether they agree, disagree. And that way we're just having an honest conversation of why it's not working. Mm-hmm. Where do we need to go next? because, you know, you and I don't have the same haircut we had 26 years ago. You Thank should goodness. Constantly be updating yourself. And so
that perm is still growing out.
The perm is still growing out. So, you know, we should be constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. You know, the previous charter commission never saw the parishes growing in the way that they have.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. And no one saw that. In hindsight, it's a beautiful thing. So we need to constantly be evolving and constantly be changing to keep up with the changes of the times. And I think this is a great step in the first direction.
I think for me, when some of the parks and rec centers were closed and I started looking, because, you know, I used to work with Upper Lafayette, and when you'd see, well, these are closed, and then, you know, others weren't closed, and then you go look at the budget, and our parks budget is woefully underfunded. So when you start learning these things, you're like, wow, this it's tough, but yet city tax dollars need to be going to cover city services. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that and being involved.
Absolutely. So, well, I encourage anyone listening, please, please, please get involved on that.
I did see that there's two at-large positions, so people that are interested can apply.
Absolutely. Encourage them to apply. They can email their council member their resume and ask that they be considered.
Okay. All right. Anything else on deconsolidation? Any other thoughts?
No, I mean, I've just, again, people, if you need to learn more and you have questions about it, I encourage you to contact your council member to get engaged, because this is a really important discussion.
Okay. I know you have a monthly newsletter, so you probably keep your constituents updated, but you were encouraging me to sign up. Anybody can get on your newsletter?
Absolutely. They can email me and ask to be signed up. There's also a sign me up option on my Facebook page. You just click sign me up. And it'll direct you to MailChimp, which is the platform I use. I send out a monthly email at the end of every month, updating. I've been doing this for 5 years now. And just things and it started because I was finding out when I first got on the council, all these things I thought were so interesting and everyone needs to know this, and or I want to make sure they know this election's coming up or what's on the ballot. Yeah. And so it's just an email I send out end of every month. I promise not to spam you and just encourage people to sign up.
Can they find that on your website also?
They can. They should be able to find it on my website, but if they can't, they're welcome to email me.
You've got a great website, too.
Well, thank you.
Nice. Nicely done. So, let's see. I wanted to let you just have a moment to kind of get into some of your, if you don't mind, some of your engagement in the community. My daughter, Kelly just turned 22.
Wow.
And when she was a junior, you led her junior Lafayette leadership class, and she was in there with Vincent Pierre's son, I can't remember his name, Joshua. Mm-hmm. I know there's twins, but she made lifelong friends in that class. So you've really been engaged in other things outside of work and elected office.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big animal lover. I'm a dog mom to Lady and Batman.
Yeah,
and
Batman.
I'm a big believer in that. I'm on the board of Acadiana Animal Aid, which is an incredible organization. It's a no-kill shelter here in Lafayette, one of the few of them in the region. And our goal is to save animals' lives until every single one of them have a home. So very engaged with that. They do a lot of transport to other cities that, believe it or not, have empty shelters all the time and are constantly looking for animals.
That's a legislative issue,
isn't it? Yes. And so, you know, I was on the council where we did vote to do everything we could and passed ordinances to help our local municipal shelter become no-kill.
And it's working.
And it is working. And we've reached 100% a few times, but there's definitely still work to be done. We're building that new shelter now, which should be completed by April. So anything that we can do, you know, and I tell people, for you to care about animal welfare and animal aid and our local municipal shelters, doesn't mean you have to be an animal lover. But nobody wants to see, just like we don't want to see people standing in the rain, we don't want a ton of stray cats. So we need to encourage spay and neutering, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to see animals roaming the streets and getting in your trash, right? So that's where these kind of things come important.
It's quality of life.
It's quality of life for sure.
Humane.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm thrilled to see Lafayette's going in that direction. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to expand out into other municipalities, encourage them to do the same.
Yeah. I do want to say Joel Robidoux, our past mayor president, really got behind that effort. I know he took that as a challenge because
Absolutely.
We had such a high kill rate. There were just so many animals that they couldn't handle the load. So to see it now reaching 100% where the animals are placed and they're not put down is just incredible in a very short time.
Absolutely. So. And it was small, minor changes. And mm-hmm. it didn't cost a lot of money, but it was mm-hmm. just little things like changing the hours of when people can come adopt animals or free
after
adoption.
Work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on the weekends and things like that are, you know, working together, having more mm-hmm. communication within the other animal rescue groups and fostering. And there's, you know, these spay and neuter trap mm-hmm. and release program we've established. So little things like that definitely helped us become no-kill. So.
Right. What do you do in your spare time? Do you have spare time?
Do I have it?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's, and really it's spending time with family, friends, my husband, and just being with people. Pre-COVID, it was eating out at my favorite
yeah.
restaurants and
what a year,
you know, enjoying the community. So, you know, we're slowly starting to venture out and, mm-hmm. and getting back out there. And, you know, we, you know, I support the restaurants that are doing their best to keep a mm-hmm. safe, clean environment for their people.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
But as we wind down, I wanted to ask you, and I didn't prepare you for this, but what do you like about living here in Lafayette? What, if you have a favorite
yeah.
thing or things, like what is it that makes you want to stay here?
The people. You know, I travel a lot for work and for fun. You know, we travel some beautiful places and I have mm-hmm. some really great markets that I travel to for work, but it's the people here. You know, I'll bring physicians to come in and see our hospitals here in Lafayette and they are just blown away by the kindness mm-hmm. that people share and the friendliness and the just the loving spirit, you know, and I think you travel and you don't see that everywhere else. There's just something about Lafayette, you know, and whether it's, and of course it's the food, it's the people. So you can't beat that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know your family's here. And as you said, you stayed
yeah.
and I know your parents are probably delighted.
I think
that
so.
You and Aaron are, mm-hmm. are here. So, well, Liz Webb-Abear, what is this? January 26, 2021, chair of the Lafayette City Council, representative for City Council District 3. Thank you for your service. And thank you personally for your friendship. It's been an honor to have you on our show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love it.
Good.
Thank you for all you do, Jan.
Thank you. And I want to encourage people to share this podcast. You can listen to this at our website, discoverlafayette.net. And you can also subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And I'd love if you would do that and leave reviews so that other people can find our show. So thank you for listening. And also thank you to our sponsors, Iberia Bank, which is now a part of First Horizon, and Ochsner Lafayette General. We're very grateful for your support. And of course, Raider and Jason Sikora with Raider, who mixes our tape. You make us sound professional. So thank you. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.